Please be seated. We were undeterred by yesterday's snowstorm. We had planned to burn last year's palms last night to make ashes for Ash Wednesday. But we anticipated the storm and did so on Sunday morning. Whenever we do it, I find it an important and meaningful and frankly a beautiful experience. Palms burn hot and fast with a lot of fire and a lot of smoke. They are consumed by that flame and they create beautiful orange embers that glow. And when we do it at night, you can actually see them almost breathing as they glow. When they fade, we are left with gray ash. Those majestic branches of last Palm Sunday are transformed into the dust that we will wear tonight. And it's an important image. The Christian life is all about transformation, even about life coming from death. Ash Wednesday is about the transformation of those palms, as well as, and probably more importantly, the transformation of our hearts. Tonight we begin our Lenten journey by honestly coming before God and confessing that we have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We have strayed from the paths of holiness that God calls us to walk. We have not always faithfully followed Jesus in his way of love. And so tonight we confess that we are sinners. Sinners who rely on God's mercy and compassion. And we come to make a confession this night. To confess in order to have a fresh beginning. The prophet Joel in our first reading tells us how it is we begin. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. And so it is that we confess, that we mourn our failings, that we repent by literally turning in a new direction toward God, reorienting our hearts to God, following where Jesus leads us. And so Ash Wednesday is about our hearts and our wills and about God's call to conversion, to repentance, to following God's ways. Now, you may have noticed from our gospel, there's also a contradiction in this night. For we put ashes, which we'll do shortly, on our forehead as a mark of our penitence and our mortality. When we leave, anyone who sees us will be able to see those ashes. And yet our gospel warns us, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus is cautioning us to not let our practice, our piety, be done for appearances, so that others look at us and see, oh, look, they have ashes. Jesus is cautioning us that if that's our approach, then we receive our reward when others notice. Jesus is telling us that intentions matter. Our motivations are important. If we put ashes on our head tonight so that others can see how holy we are, then we have received in that the entirety of our reward, the reward of being seen as a pious person. But if instead we receive ashes on our forehead as a sign of a right beginning of a holy Lent, of our humble confession, our renewed commitment to deeper relationship with God, with our neighbors, with ourselves, with the whole of creation, then we receive a true reward, a deep reward, a profound reward, one that indeed is life-changing. Trusting in God's loving forgiveness, mercy, and compassion, we confess and repent this night, not to punish ourselves, not to feel a sense of shame or unworthiness, but we do so to turn to God, to return to the path of holiness that God intends for us. And the ashes are a symbol of our penitence, of our desire for a restored and deepened relationship with God. The ashes are imposed with the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Those are ominous words. The ashes are a symbol of our mortality. We come before God, the one who is eternal, and we remember that we are not, that we are mortal. We are creatures made by God, made in God's image and likeness, but we are not God. We will not live forever. We will all die. Through baptism, we are marked as Christ's own forever, baptized into his death, and also with the promise that we share in a resurrection like his. And through Christ, we are set free from all that alienates and holds us, free from sin, free from death, free from the temptations and lies of this world. In baptism, a cross is made on our forehead with holy oil, with chrism blessed by the bishop. On this night, the ashes are placed on that same cross in our forehead, tracing the outline of that baptismal cross with ashes, the sign of our mortality and our repentance. And so tonight we begin a journey through these 40 days of Lent. And I really believe that Lent is an opportunity. It's a gift we are given by God in order to be intentional, to heed God's invitation, to reorient ourselves to God, to make our relationship with God a priority at the center of our lives. How do we do this? Well, I think the gospel gives us some clues. Jesus mentions several practices that are central to the Christian life, and particularly to the journey in Lent. And you notice in tonight's gospel, he doesn't say, "If you do these things, then." He says, "When you do these things." And the things that he says are giving alms, praying, and fasting. Jesus calls us to give alms, to care for those in need through our financial resources, through the abundance of what we have, sharing with those who do not have enough. And the heart of almsgiving is caring for others, for our neighbor. And it declares that everything that we have is a gift from God. And we are called to give away a portion of what has been entrusted to us in thanksgiving to God for God's generosity. This practice transforms our world, and it changes us who give alms. Giving away a portion of what we have means we trust God. We trust that God will continue to provide for us, that we will have what we need. Giving alms is the antithesis of hoarding, of keeping a tight hold on what we have been given. It's the antidote to the fear there isn't enough. Jesus also calls us to pray. Just like Jesus, we are to be faithful in daily prayer, setting aside time to come into God's presence. We can do this with words, our own, or composed prayers, such as the many prayers in the Book of Common Prayer. We can also come in silence, listening for God's word as we sit in God's presence. Part of that call to prayer is the study and reading of God's holy word, of Scripture. Prayer and Scripture provide a solid foundation for our Lenten journey, as well as the whole of our lives. In reading Scripture, we encounter the living word, God revealed anew for this time. Through the words of Scripture, God speaks to us in this moment. And then finally, tonight's gospel, Jesus calls us to fast. And I wonder if this might be the most challenging in our culture. Those of us who are middle class have an abundance of food. It's available in season and out. And to give up what we want, to resist our desires and cravings, can be helpful. It can show us the power that these desires have over us. It can reveal how we give in to our impulses. Fasting may even transform how we live. It can show us maybe we don't need to consume as much as we do. Fasting may stir in us a deeper trust and reliance on God rather than on ourselves alone. Jesus calls us to undertake all these practices privately, not for show, not so others can see and be impressed. We do them not for the approval of others, but for the transformation of our lives, for the deepening of our relationship with God. It is these practices that allow us to store up treasure in heaven. We are allowing God to be present and at work in us, transforming our hearts. We are able to be honest about our need for God, our need for conversion, and listening to God's call to move in a new direction. And so, in all these disciplines, what matters most is that they lead us closer to God. And as Jesus tells us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so we enter into Lent this night, the season for the transformation of our hearts and of our lives. This is the time for us to die to the old ways of life and rise to the new. It's a time for self-discipline and self-awareness. Lent is an invitation to honesty, to being honest about the state of our lives and about our need for God. And it's only through this Lenten journey that we are able to come into the joy of the celebration of Easter. And so this night I invite you to dedicate yourselves to keeping a holy Lent, to accept the ashes on your forehead as a symbol of your repentance, your penitence, as a symbol of your mortality and your need for God. The ashes are a statement of trust in God's loving mercy and compassion, in God's desire to forgive us, and of how God rejoices whenever we repent and return to God. And so may we make a good beginning of Lent this night. Walking the way of these 40 days, may we be changed and transformed, that we come to a joyous Easter, that great feast which is the foretaste, the promise of life eternal that God desires to share with each of us. Through our Lenten journey, may we be drawn deeper into the heart of God, into the divine life of the Holy Trinity, now and for eternity. Amen.